communion fan. Very happy to be here tonight in service of our Lord to represent His Son, Jesus Christ, to you. In the way that He is dead at Calvary, His atonement for you, for the healing of your body, salvation of your soul, for joy and happiness. I believe it's written in the Scripture, one of the writers said, above all things, I would that you prosper in health. And now I pray that God will let every sick person in here tonight be well. I'm sure it's the will of God that all of you would be well. He wants you to be well if you and I can only have faith. If we just sometimes wonder what that great article says, what is it? You know, to my surprise, and I say this with reverence and heart, fearing that if I would say something wrong, I find that about 80% of the people that say they believe just have hope instead of faith. Faith is just so sure, it's positive, it never moves, it's just got to be. Faith is an element. It's the sense. It's the sixth sense of the human body. It's the one sense. The human soul has two senses. Well, other than that, five senses control the human body. See, taste, feel, smell, hear. And the inward man has two senses. That's faith and belief. One of them governs. We come to a place, so I'm wondering seriously about this, that if we really, if we're not playing the borderline, you folks, don't you think so? Borderline Christians? Do you believe there is such? There is. They're afraid to watch out into the deep. Borderline. Just as long as you can walk. Recently, when coming from Africa, while I was down there, I haven't time now to tell you, but the Lord told me to go a certain place and do a certain thing. And the management of the itinerary they had set was altogether contrary, and the man didn't understand. They just wouldn't let me do it. I said, all right. Look, we'll suffer, so I went and prayed again. He gave me permission and told me I'd suffer over. I did. The whole party did. I suffered worse. Was a parasite. And we found out later, if we went and done what the Lord told us to, there'd probably been 200,000 souls saved in the meeting, more and more. Mr. Jackson, which is here at the meeting somewhere from South Africa, knows all about it. When I tore all of the trees, threw it before the ministerial international group and said, thus saith the Lord. If we shall not go that way, if we do, we'll suffer. It's not right to go that way. We should go from here to Johannesburg straight to Durban. They couldn't understand it, of course. But I went in there after I just need the detail of it. Won't take but just a moment or two, maybe. 10-15 minutes. When we landed at Johannesburg, I didn't know very much about South Africa. My wife said, well, probably at the last of this, and I told her, I said, you're right, honey, Johannesburg, Southern Rhodesia. Durban, Southern Rhodesia. Durban's not in Rhodesia. It'd be like writing Zion, Canada. It's another nation. Rhodesia is another nation, South Africa, where Durban is, but I don't know. The Lord sent me to Durban because that's where Miss Florence Nightingale was healed. She went back, and I promised the Lord that I would go if that's where I thought I was going. When I got over to Johannesburg, Brother Baxter and him was waiting for me there, and he said, here's where we have a meeting. About 20,000 people or more were out around the place there, and by the time I got there, I don't know how many was out, and about 20 or 30 miles out of town where they're taking us, where the meeting was being held. The first time I was so worn, I'd been in the air for 3 days. When I come down, I was tired, worn, no sleep. You know how it is, them bouncy planes over the seas and so forth. Thank you, sir. And so then when I got down there, well, I just walked to the meeting and just got in, and there were tens of thousands of people gathered in there everywhere. Been waiting 3 days for me, all together now. As soon as I got in, I saw a vision just break before me. And there come a boy with one leg, about 6 inches shorter than the other. I seen men come down normal. I looked around to see where the boy was, and I seen him sitting. We hadn't had time to get out no prayer for us. We couldn't call a prayer line. My, not in that kind of crowd. I said, young man, Jesus Christ has healed you. You've come over here from Durban. He's made you well. Stand up on your feet. There, his leg was perfectly normal. The headlines in the paper of the boy, the reporters went and measured his leg to see him testify of his father and mother. There it was. The next day, then there's a little lady laying there in a cot. I said, I see an automobile, one running this way. It crashes as the young lady gets her back broke. I said, here she lays here, your back broke in 3 places. She said, that's right. She said, will I ever get, I said, I don't know. I stood there just a moment, look. I see her going, waving her hands and talking to her friends and back and forth. I said, stand up, Jesus Christ has healed you. And her mother said, no, 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 she can't stand up. She should die. Remember, better be careful. With a broken back, one move and that's all. Remember, a state troop can't move you on the highway if you've got a broken back. That's right. You have to lay there. It's the doctor's decision. Now, but they, and a woman was laying there with her back broken 3 places and hadn't moved for months, just laying like that. I said, Jesus will heal you. And she raised up on her feet and screamed, began jumping up and down and praising God, and her mother fainted and fell in the same bed that her daughter was laying in. So that started. And then, well, they had a medical affair there that the medical association had an awful time with them. Well, I give them my analysis of that, what it was, and what I thought was true. The old man kind of slung shut behind the door to me, but that don't stop God's word from being true. So I laid it up, and the next morning early, the medical association called up and wanted me to have breakfast with them. And they gave me the right hand of fellowship and said, that's true divine healing, and we open our hospital to anything that you want. Fire. I said, thank you, sir. Said, you've already done something more far as town than half of this year. You should come over here in 50 years. I said, thank you, sir. I will try to do all that the Lord will permit me to do. I said, Reverend Branham, we believe in divine healing like that. And that way, that's true. And I said, thank you, sir. So then the next day, the Dust Reform paper, which was, oh my, the Dust Reform church. Now, nothing against you Dust Reform people here, but that's a state church there, and they're really horribly against divine healing. And so, but here their paper was tearing articles of it, everything, front pages and 1 or 2 pages of it. And the next day, there was one Dutch Reform minister who was for me. No one said I was a spiritualist, a devil, under disguise as a Christian, and imposing myself as a Christian man, working with a spirit of the devil, the reason I would know those things. Well, it kind of stirred his buddy, so he went to see me. And he said, you're wrong. So this was the day of our visitation. The other fellow said, the one was with him, said, that man is of the devil. And he was, this other said, I'm going out and pray for your lost soul. So he just turned around and walked out in the yard of his little peach tree. And he knelt under the peach tree and said, oh God, I accept every word the man has said. But I believe it's the truth. I know no one could do this except it would be by you. And I believe it, and my friend in there is going to be lost. And he said, it's the day of our visitation, and have mercy on him. And he said about that time, before he'd ever heard about it, here come that pillar of fire moving down through that bush. And said the pillar of fire opened up, and the angel of God stood there and walked to him and laid his hand on his shoulder. Said, return and tell him. And he jumped up real quick. He runs to the door all excited, said, the angel of the Lord met me right there and said, come tell you, and began to tell his buddy about, say, put his hand on my back and said, it just almost burnt come through me. Said, I tell you, just going on like that. And this Dutch Reform minister had to look around, and there was a scorched place the size of a man's hand laying right across his white shirt, right across there, I got the shirt. There it was the next day in the paper, headline, this Dutch Reform minister's eyes bulged out like that, look at the man man's back, and they took my hand and put it on the man's back, and just exactly fit the fingers right around exactly of the left hand where it used to be. Well, we had the favor of everything then. Then Mr. Baxter, my beloved brother, comes and tells me, he said, Brother Branham, we got an itinerary. We got the way down, caught first off through the pain, all the way down through that way, and back up, and then over to Durban. So it doesn't matter to me. We're over here for so long. Doesn't matter. All right. That night when we went in, about 2 o'clock in the morning, the angel of the Lord came to me and said, tomorrow, you're going to be down in the city, and you're going to see an odd-dressed lady standing by the side of a place dressed in purple. Call Mr. Schumann's attention, and tomorrow morning, while you're sitting at the table, when you get up, tell there's going to be something happen. And so then you tell your manager, Mr. Baxter, that he's going to point out to you a very odd-looking bird. See? And it says, they're going to try to take you up here to a doctor that's got cancer. He thinks cancer on his hip, but said it is not cancer. The doctor just made a mistake and cut something loose there, and a man's going to die. And on your road up, said you'll see a Navy beach sailor. There's lots of them set along the road, but tomorrow there'll only be one. And you all will turn and come to that Navy beach sailor. And said you'll know her. Said she's a young girl, about 14 years old. She's got a big skin plate way back her scalp like that. And said, by that, you shall not take, you'll know that you shall not go down there with that man. You stay right here for 2 weeks. And go up to Mr. Jackson's farm as you were going up there hunting, and then go to Durban. And stay to Durban till I call you. Next morning, I got up, repeated all over. Mr. Baxter, right here listening at me now. And Mr. Jackson, which is sitting close. Are you here, Brother Jackson? Where are you at? If you are, raise your hand and so I'll know. I've been saying, oh, he's here, certainly, right up here and all that. That's right, Brother Jackson from South Africa. Right there when the meeting was going on. The next day, sitting at the table, the Lord spoke to me and told me about little Andra, his little girl, about what was wrong with her tonsils and what had taken place and so forth. Mr. Schumann, first, he didn't kind of understand it too well. He just dropped his sword. He knew that no one knew that except right there in their own family. And now the Holy Spirit was revealing all about his family and what they had done and all along like that. Brother Baxter sitting at the table, listening. And I said, now, we shall not take this itinerary down this way. The Lord told me to stay here for 2 more weeks and then go over to Mr. Jackson's farm and go hunting with him for rest up for about 8 or 10 days and then go to Durban and stay there until he called me, which should be about a month, I'm sure. Not knowing then that Durban was the only place there wasn't segregation, all these others are segregation. You think about the South having trouble, and you ought to see their trouble there. Now, so I told them, and the next day, Brother Baxter, which is present, and Brother Bosworth, and all of them, one day, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Branham, to me, so that's all right. But as a national committee, you have to see them. So I told Brother Schumann, so he'd know. I said, now, today, if you know, Brother Schumann, we're going to the city, and there'll be a Navy dressed in purple. And I said, what? I said, a Navy dressed in purple. Never seen one yet. He said, all right, you'll see it today. And I said, he'd be standing by a park. I've never been in Johannesburg in my life. And I said, he'd be standing by a park like this where cat a corner, cut this way, the road goes this way, and a lot of benches setting along like this. There's people above it with flowers on the streets down. He said, I know where the park is. And I said, but we'll pass by that today. Well, I said, you want to go down? Well, when all we got busy about things, he said, you want to go down? I said, yes. I went out with him in his office, and when we were coming around for his office, I said, Brother Schumann, you see your Navy sender in the park, so what do you know about that? And so then, as we got back up there, what does that Duplessis mean? Not David. Justice Duplessis, which is one of the smartest men there is in South Africa, in my opinion, and a real Christian gentleman. He is one of the sponsors of the meeting on the National Committee. He taken me in a bus, and we went up to Victoria. And on the road up, Brother Baxter was along, and they were driving about 60 miles an hour up the road like that, talking real quick. And he said, well, there ought to be some salesmen along here somewhere. I said, that's better than that. And so we went on up and said, we're buying some beef and churros and so forth. Went on up and we just passed by. I looked and asked up a little lady sitting on the side of the road, a little colored girl with her skin placed on her head. I thought, that's the girl. I just see what they're going to do now. He went way on up the road and said, have a look. He's just about half square above the thing. There's one of the salesmen. Squeaked on his brakes, come back. I looked at the other back there. It just looked like he didn't think of it at that time. Turned back around. When we got down there, I said, Brother Baxter, don't you remember this? Said, yes, there it is. There's a little bit. The only one on the road, and that's 29 miles. You know, brother, they sit on the road everywhere there. So they'll know it's the only one on the road, just like he told me. Never been in the country. Just been there about 24 hours. And so he said, now, and there she was sitting there with that. And we went back, and Brother Baxter taking his camera and took a picture of the lady. We go on up. Sure enough, there was the doctor with that in his hip, just exactly like we said. And then the following day, we was out on a place that was Brother Baxter's, an odd bird that he told me he would look at. There it was, just the same way. Then he comes and said, we're going, got to go down there. Well, Brother Baxter said, now, Brother Brown, if it was in America, I'd have a jurisdiction, and I would say, no. Said, but we're over here at the mercy of these people. They don't understand, so now I'm with you. 100%. But said, now, to make these men understand it, that'll be something different. I said, well, whether they understand it or not, I know what the Lord told me to do. I'll see what he said to. So, next morning, here come the cars up. Got to go down to Clark's off, a little place about 4,000, 5,000, or something like that, something on that order. Leave at Johannesburg of about 350 or 400,000 to lead that distance 100 miles different. But as I've always said, if you want to get muddled up, just fool with preachers. And that's where you sure get fixed up. Not all of them, but I mean just to get a bunch of men. They promised Brother so-and-so that they'd have us over to his place, and Brother so-and-so, they had to come down there. Now that's all right. But brother, when it comes to leading of the Spirit of God, you follow God. And so they said, oh, we must go, that's all. So they loaded up the car, God's still sitting in there. I wouldn't go. I wasn't going, no, sir. So they said, you got to go, you must go. So started down the road, and as I kept going down, the Holy Spirit kept condemning me. You better not do that. I said, God, if I ever know crossing your line like this, but I'm down here, what am I going to do to the mercy of these men? It kept getting worse. I said, stop the car. Stop the car. Up come the different cars, the man, and Billy Paul, my son, and Mr. Sackcliff, Mr. Bosworth, and a bunch of the committeemen, and all of them come up. Now, this is Mr. Schumann. There he is. Brother Baxter is in another car. So the one over told him, he refuses to go. Said, you have to go talk to him. I said, I ain't going to go farther right here. This is, the Lord done told me to go back, and I can't do it. And they said, well, Brother Graham said, look, they kind of got a little huffy about it. And I said, don't you think God speaks to somebody besides you? One of the committeemen said. I said, Korah had that idea one day and told Moses that. But the earth opened up and swallowed him out. I said, I don't know what he told you. I can't judge that. I know what he told me. Well, he said he told us to make that itinerary. I said, he told me not to take it. Well, now you see. If he told you to make the itinerary, go ahead. But he told me not to do it. Well, the RN got worse and worse. Finally, Brother Baxter come over. Brother Baxter, Brother Brandon, we're kind of spot here. He said, I wish that you would not say about going up on that hunting trip. Said that, now, Brother Baxter is a sensible, sound man. And he's looking at it from as sensible standpoint as it could be. He said, look, if you keep saying going hunting, those ministers are thinking that you come down here to go hunting, and half of them down here don't even believe in going hunting. And say, thousands of people laying down there sick, ready to die, and you talk about going hunting. I said, Brother Baxter, if I never fire another gun in my life, if I never walk into a field again in my life, I said, that's not pro or con to me. I said, I am only doing what God said do. And I said, I'm just following out orders. And I said, you've been with me enough, Brother Baxter, to know that when I tell you what God is going to do in the name of the Lord and tell you it's a vision, he said, Brother Branham, is that truly a vision from God? I said, yes, Brother Baxter. He said, then from henceforth, I take my hands away from it. I said, I won't have more to do with it. Because it's a vision from God that we're plugged up here. But said, now, if you make your move, I'll stand by you. But all right, Brother Baxter. Well, I fussed with him after a while, no. Well, finally, it's getting 1 o'clock, people's waiting, and when we go down the road, I'm mispronouncing, I'm sure it's right, Saul, but something on that order, close enough that you know what it was. But when we got down there, there was enough people, the city was swamped, and there's old place from the sleep, there was nothing. Beautiful day. They take me out to the minister's house, and Brother Faree, a very fine Christian brother, soon as he sat on the table by his wife, the Lord told me what was wrong with his wife and how she suffered and healed her right there, and she's never been bothered since. See, God in his sovereignty, get me out of his will. God will bless his gifts and callings are without repentance. See. And so then we stay there a little bit. And that night they got the meeting all ready to go. And when there comes time to take me to the meeting, there come a tropical storm and I just drowned the whole bunch. And at 10 o'clock in the night, they couldn't even get me near the place. Just, you haven't seen a storm, have you? See one of the tropical storms. Lightning, it's just right in this room almost, a constant flash of the lightning and roaring, and there it was. All right, no service that night. Well, but brethren, I come back, I said, I told you. The Lord said, don't come down here, I'm out of his will. I've got to go back to Johannesburg. Well, we just can't do it. Now we promised brothers, these brothers that we're going down here, we got to do it. Well, there you are. The sin be on you. I said, remember, I was there with no money and nothing. I was in an awful condition. No money to carry my meat on myself. And I was just kind of up against it. So then, I said, well, we waited that night. The next day, broke off praying at night. And just about the time for the service, there come a blizzard. Like the phone's everybody to death. Come on back to Billy. I said, didn't I tell you? I said, now, tomorrow night we'll have an earthquake. Okay. I said, we're out of the will of God, brethren. They said, do you mean we'll have an earthquake? I said, I don't know whether we will or not. I just said that. There'll be something happen. We're out of the will of God. 2 o'clock in the morning, we're still going heavy at it. I said, finally said, now look, God has told me to go back to Johannesburg and stay there for 2 weeks, go up to Brother Jackson, and then from there to Durban, and from there I'll go home. They, oh no, I said, well, we got the favor with the newspapers, with the medical association, with everything, and thousands of people where they could eat and everything, and a place to stay, and here they're raining out on the prairies, no place, nothing to eat, and drowned and everything else, us out of the will of the Lord. I said, can't you see it better? Well, we promised to do this, though. But of course, they were mad of honor trying to keep their promise to their brother. But, brother, that's the reason that my meetings tonight can't be set like old Robert and the rest of these fellows. They know where they're going 2 years from now. If they don't die, they can set their mind must be led day by day, meeting by meeting. Wherever he says go, I gotta go. They tell me right tonight not to be here tomorrow. I wouldn't be here tomorrow. And if he told me tonight to stay here a year, I'd be right here a year if I had to stand on the outskirts of Zion. And wherever he says go, that's just where I go. That's where I stay till he says go. It's got to be that way. I can't set a itinerary. I can't tell you where I'll be the next day. I don't know. I make no promises. We're supposed to go out to Chicago next week, if the Lord will. If the Lord doesn't permit it, if he speaks to me tonight, say, stay in Zion, I stay in Zion. As he met with me tonight, he said, one day I was down there in St. Louis, Missouri, just last time, and I've had a good meeting. And that very night, the Holy Spirit come in and said, leave St. Louis and go back to Zion. And I left St. Louis the next day and began the following day in Zion again. You remember? You see what the Lord did? Follow. So then, on into the night, we went arguing. I said, nope, going back tomorrow, right back to Johannesburg. Well, what will we do when we got to Johannesburg? I didn't have money to come home with it, and coming home would be wrong. I was supposed to stay there in that meeting. Who's going to back it up? What are we going to do? Oh, I was in an awful fix. And it just seemed like, I said, all right, as Paul said as long ago, you should have listened and not have loosened, treating causes trouble. So I said, now God has a permissive will, but I never like to work off permissive will. I want His perfect will. Always. If I don't want to work secondarily, I want to know what He wants me to do, and I'll go do it. And so we went. Then when he heard about permissive will, oh my, that settled the thing altogether. Well, I went into the room. Yeah, we all went to a different room. I went to my room to pray. Billy, my boy back there, was sleeping with me. We had a couple little beds off one side. Brother Jackson, I guess you did, Brother Freeze, know where the beds are. That's next out to the road. And Billy and I went in, we went to pray. And when we went in, Billy, my boy, put his hand on my shoulder. He said, Daddy, don't you listen to that bunch of preachers. You listen to what God's telling you and not that bunch of preachers. If I ever got wisdom from my son, the van, or a good son. And I said, honey, I'm all tore up. He said, look, Daddy. He said, we'll get home some way. I said, honey, the thing of this is going home. It's the idea I've got to go back to Johannesburg and take this meeting that way. He said, Daddy, I'll stay by you. And I know Brother Baxter will. So he said, you just remember we're with you. And so I said, you pray with me, Billy. Of course, he got sleepy, just being a kid, and he crawled in the bed about 1 or 2 o'clock. About 3 o'clock in the morning, he came into the room. I felt him. Moved over to the side of the bed. I said, who are these men, and what do they need? He said, go on. I said, go on. I said, they've got you tied into it. I said, go on, but remember, you'll pay for it. He said, you'll know. And he said, now, if you might know that you have my permission to go, tomorrow morning, you go wake up your boy. God honored Billy. He said, you go wake up your boy and tell him that tomorrow morning at Sunday school, when they have their Sunday school meeting in the morning, it's going to be a pretty day. And it's raining, cloudy, and bad then. He said, but it's going to be pretty. Sun will be shining, you'll be warm again. He said, you... They're going to send, and Brother Baxter sort of send for you to come pray for the sick man. The meeting's so delayed, it's to be there 3 days, anyhow. That if the meeting's so delayed, he's going to send your boy back to get you to come pray for the sick. So be ready and go. And so then when you do, that your son is going to come at you with a young man in a little black car. And on the road back, on the road to get you, he's going to pick up another young man, that's contrary to the rules. But he's going to pick up another young man, and on the road going back, said he's going to call your attention. There'll be a maid in a white sapphire suit standing near a eucalyptus tree by a bridge with a stick fixed to the stalk of another maid. And said, by that, you know that I give you permission to go. But remember, you'll suffer for it. So when I come out of the vision, I went over and I woke Billy up and I said, Billy, the angel of the Lord has just visited me and told him what he said. I walked into the room, I put a back to the back, back to the Billy now listening. And I walked into the room, and here's what it proves, friend. Listen, don't miss this. I hope they never deal with you like that. And that man, as far to this end as a different person. I guess I've been odd, misunderstood. Your life might not be like that, but this one thing I do know, you do what God tells you to do. Don't pay attention to what anybody else says, you do what God says. And be sure that you know it's God. Not some imagination or some feeling, you be sure it's God. Then follow God's route. He'll take you where He wants you to go. So, we walked into the room, Brother Baxter, Brother Bosworth, Mr. Sackcliffe, which is I believe it's present tonight. Those men were sent us. At least two of those men present now. They were all sleeping in a room over to the south. The four of them in a room. Or the three of them, rather. And I walked in the room and I said, brethren, I have thus saith the Lord. I said, we are doing wrong when we're going down to Kimberly, Clarksville, and Bloemfontein, Cape Town. We're doing wrong. The will of the Lord is for us to go back here and come down, go back to Johannesburg and go from there over to Brother Jackson and from there over to this Durban. And I said, but he gave me his permissive will this morning and gave me these signs, and I told him what he told me. And I said, it's daylight outside now, it's a pretty day. And I said, these things shall come to pass. But remember, it's not the will of the Lord. How many of those spread flowers were affecting your hand? Do you believe him to be a good man?
Yes.
And he's as close to me as my daddy. But yet, in fact, Brother Bosworth, who stood on my side, who stood in the pulpit, who preached of this gift, who built platforms, who constantly speaks of it, said, I'm 70-something years old. I never seen it, never read it, even like it, since the days of the apostles. Believes in me with all of his heart. He raised up and he said, Brother Barron, you're wrong. It's the will of God for you to go that way. I said, Brother Bosworth, it is not. He said, well, Brother Branham, he said, I'll break one time more Satan give Adam a false vision. I said, Brother Bosworth, you're a daddy to me. But I said, look, this is not a false vision. This is from God. My honor and my ministry, my reputation, not only mine, but the name of the Lord rests upon it. I said, it's wrong. He said, no. He said, if you go that way, you'll see the exceedingly abundantly above all that you can ask to think. And I turned around. I looked at Brother Baxter, who was rubbing his eyes. I looked over at Brother Stafford. I thought then, there it is. No matter how close an individual is to you, you can't trust the arm of the flesh. I don't care if it's your mother. You remember one time where he was a prophet in the land, another morning I prophesied, God told him what to do, and he said to one of your friends, 13:13. And this prophet told him, the Lord said to come back here, and he married the prophet in the stead of God. You know what happened? He lost his life. Both of them prophets. No matter who they are, you do what God tells you to do. Boy, I left while preaching the street for one day, the Holy Spirit fell upon me and said, thus saith the Lord, there is a snare set for you in South Africa. Was anybody at the Freeport meeting? Let's see your hands. Is anybody at the Freeport meeting here before I left? You heard that prophecy. All right, I guess there's not up in this little group anyhow. But boy, I didn't know it was among my brethren. Now, the thing was, we went on, and as soon as we got to Kimberly, there was the next stop, there was an elderly man there, an old man, a good man, but there's thousands of people, and that old brother said, no, sir, you're not going to have it out anywhere but in my church. The church holds about 400 people, and about 10, 12, 14,000 people there. But yet it had to be in that church. Brother Bosworth grew up and shook his hat, said, ridiculous, ridiculous, that's a shame. I said, that's the exceedingly abundant of his soul. I said, you understand? He said, oh, I never heard of that. And so Brother Baxter the same way, both of them went out and rented a big place. All right. That shows, you see, went on down along the trip like that, trouble set in everywhere. And never had the meeting until we got up there to anyone knows that the Brother Jackson, you know, the meeting was at Durban, where we had nearly 100,000 gathered out and 30,000 converts in a day. And that was the only place it was that down along the road, we all got sick. Every one of us got sick. And when I come home, I almost died. I had amoeba. Amoeba. The parasite, a little animal, gets into the intestinal tract, in the stomach, like a little barnacle. Sticks there and sucks till it, well, it takes its course in about so many hours after it gets into the bloodstream. If it comes on the liver and bursts, you live. If it goes to the brain and bursts the heart, you die. There's nothing you can do about it. And I walked the floor and prayed and cried and prayed and cried and prayed and cried till my eyes were swelling and my life had to leave me to breakfast. No answer from God at all. One morning I lay under my hand behind my head and said, God, what can I do? Falling off weight, getting thinner and thinner, worse and worse all the time, nothing. Getting worse, nothing to be done. Worse all the time. One morning I went out, oh God, what's my future hold? I guess this is the end of the road. I'm perishing.
totally forgiven. I'd get my Bible and walk up and down the floor in the daytime, and my wife would say, "Honey, what's the matter?" I'd say, "Oh, sweetheart, if you only knew how I felt." I said, "I went against God's will." I said, "Here I am, broken here, and my ministry." I told Brother Baxter, I said, "The Lord has spoke to me, witness right now, and when he comes to the platform." I said, "If I take that itinerary, thus saith the Lord, I'll not even be able to have a meeting between 6 months and a year." If this is the seventh month or the eighth month thing. I asked him, when he says anything, it's the truth. I lay my life to it if it's the truth. Then, coming back to my place, I was walking the floor about 3 months ago, or hardly so much, walking the floor one night crying. I laid down, went to sleep, I woke up about 3 o'clock in the morning. I said, "Oh, God, what will be my future? What will happen to me?" Well, I said, "Oh, if I only about 5 months suddenly pacing the floor and crying, wondering, people standing everywhere, well, I couldn't even leave the house." Hardly there was. I said, "Oh, what will I do?" Then I got a little buddy that in the doctor's hair lives just across from me, went to school together. When he heard about that, he said, "Billy Graham, mercy, boy, God must be merciful to you." So he said, "There ain't nothing I'm going to do." And I said, "Doc, the only thing I'm going to do is sign my favor back to God again." I said, "I stepped across this line. One morning, man, as I said, about 3 o'clock, I was rubbing my head. I thought, what is my future hope?" And about that time, I felt something move into the room. Get your memories ready now. We're telling you something's going to happen. He come into the room. I knew it was him. I lay real still. He come moving. I can hear him going. Like a last of fire. I can move down into the room, come where I was. Just then I seen one come walking to me. He had paper, something like typewriter paper. Just folded like this in his hand. He walked up to me. Said, "As you were meditating upon your bed, what would be your future?" I said, "Yes, Lord. I have wondered what my future held." He took the paper like this and creased it. He said, "Look at there. There's what scribbled over some of the land, but a great stack of it." He swung it like that and went flung out of sight up into the heaven. He said, "It is clear." I came to myself. I sat on the side of the bed and I said, "Oh, God. Oh, please. Oh, if I found favor with you, Lord, please, what about these amoeba? What's going to happen, Lord?" I said, "Please, if in your great heart, if my sins are forgiven, will you speak to me? What about it, Lord?" I said, "I'm laying here, I'm just about to die." I said, "I've trusted you, I've believed in you, I've called others." I said, "Won't you have mercy?" By that time, I felt something coming again. Come back into the room, move down toward me. Said, "As I was thinking about that, it shall be no more." That settled it. I seen him. I don't care what anybody said then. That was all. And I said, "Father, I never did have it. It's usually one at a time. This time over 5. He said, lasted from 3 until about 6 in the morning. And he said, "You come back again." And he said to me, he said, "You've been wondering if people have been telling you about, criticizing you about your meeting." And I said, "Yes, Lord. They tell me that Oral Roberts and these other men pray for 500 while I'm ministering to 3. And I said, "You told me to do this. What shall I do, Lord? Shall I pray for the people in line?" He said, "Just as you're led." And it left me again. And I walked up and down the floor a few moments. I said, "Oh, God, I'm so thankful to you. I appreciate you." Here it comes again. I feel it coming in the room again. And he taken me in the spirit, set me down out there in the middle of that racetrack, right in Durban where I was standing. And I've seen that Durban meeting going fading off into history to my right. Geographically, I was facing the south, just like I was in Durban. And it was going fading to the west, going away, turning blue, that group of people. And right in front of me was sections, just like this is set tonight, but looked like streets. And there were great crowds of people. And then he came, and he turned my head like this, back over to the east, towards the east, towards India, and there were tens of thousands with clouds on, dark-looking men. They had their hands up in the air. They were praising God. They were jumping up and down and screaming and praising God. Thousands of them were receiving Christ. I said, wonderful. And about that time, I heard something coming right above me, and here come down a great light out of heaven. And it's like an oscillating light. And it went way back over the field for about a half a mile or more. And there was nothing but a solid mass of people just standing packed in. I said, oh Lord, are all those black men? And then he turned me back to this group here in front of me again. There were beautiful white people standing with their hands up in the air like this, praising God. Then he turned me back again like that. And then the angel come real near. I could tell he was in here. And I heard the number that he called. Remember this? He said there's 300,000 of those in that brand of meeting. And I came to myself. I heard his number. Remember, I'm going to hold a meeting somewhere east of Durban. I believe in India. That'll consist of 300,000 people. That's before it comes to pass, as you might know. Just as I have said about the little boy being raised in Finland. Many of you heard that testimony. Before he even left the United States, a year before, that little boy being raised from heaven and so forth. Now remember this. Then I raised up my hands to bless God. And when I did, look, come here from my Bible. It was turned over to about a call and a storm. And then the leaves begin to turn back, this Bible. And it went back to Joshua, the first chapter. And something began to read the chapter like this. My servant Moses is dead. Now rise and go over this Jordan. Then these people, no man shall stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I be with you. Only be of a good courage and very courageous. For the Lord thy God is with thee wheresoever thou goest. And I raised up, and I reached from the Bible that was in the air, and I reached him. I said, where did it go? And about that time, I heard my wife knocking at the door. She'd come through the room. She said, Bill, has something been wrong? She said, at 3 o'clock this morning, the baby was fretting, and I come in to wake you up. And said, when I come out the door, now my wife is a very spiritual woman, but this is the first time it ever happened in our home. She's very quiet, pious-like person. And she said, I started to go in the room, and something said to me, don't go in there. There's a vision going on. And she said, for 3 hours, I sat in the chair and rocked the baby, waiting. I said, yeah, honey, I grabbed my Bible, a big Bible there, and wrote out the vision right quick on the fly leaf in there, which many some of the houses read it. We went out for breakfast. My mother-in-law, a very saintly, godly woman, lives just below me. Here she come running up the house. She said, has anything happened up there this morning? She said, this morning when I got up, I went to the sink to wash my dishes from my side to get ready for breakfast, and son said, go up to the other house. Something has happened. I told the vision. I turned around, I had food breakfast over, I went out to get my check stubs that was used for a meeting last year about the income thing. And I went out to the bank, went on back, they had them ready for me. I was going by, and the teller said, hello, Brother Brown. I said, hello, went on back, picked up my stuff and started out. And I started walking out like this, and something said, stop. And I thought that was just, you know, I didn't get any impressions on that. Stop. I waited and I looked at the people, nobody was looking at me, and I said, Lord God, what would you have me do? And I backed up in the corner like this, kind of waiting in there with those stuff, my little briefcase on my arm. Oh, what would you have me do? He said, look at Bob Dennison. And I thought, that was just Bob Dennison. I looked over and he was standing with his head down like this. I know Bob real well. He's teller there. And I said, well, that was just... But it wasn't. It was God. I stopped a minute. I walked over and I said, good morning, Bobby. He said, hello, Brother Brown. He said, say, Margie Morgan was in here today. I was raising the field cancer. I said, yeah. I said, how are you feeling, Bobby? Tears roll around his cheeks. He said, Brother Brown, I got something to tell you. I don't know how you're going to take it. I said, well, go ahead, Bobby. Tell me. He said, Most all my people died of cancer. He said, I've got every symptom of what they had. So I've been worried to death the last 2 days. Said, Billy, I don't mean to cause you any trouble. But said, this morning at 3 o'clock, I woke up in the room and I dreamed a dream that I should tell you about. I said, this morning at 3 o'clock, he had me up. He took hold of my hand. That was the last of cancer. I never had any more symptoms of it all. I met him when I was down home like 2 or 3 days ago. I said, how are you feeling, Bobby? He said, Brother Bram, I'm telling you, I'm a different person. God still rules and reigns. He's Jehovah. And there is none like unto him. You believe that? Let us read some scripture. I love you. To testify all night, but I must read quickly out of the 4th chapter of St. John. So Jesus came again to Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. And when he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judah into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would go down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, Sir, come down here, my child died. Jesus said unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. And as he was now going down, his servant met him, and told him, saying, Thy son liveth. Then inquired he, How did he begin to amend? He's going to get better, in other words. And they said, Yesterday, at the 7th hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was the same hour which Jesus said, A son liveth, and himself believeth his whole household. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he came out of Judea into Galilee. Jesus spoke the word. The father wanted him to come and lay hands on him and pray for him. Jesus said, Go on, your son's going to live. And the father believed what Jesus said. Now, what if he had not believed? It would not have happened. He believed. And let us believe tonight what Jesus said. Will you? Listen. Here's the word he said, Mark 11:24. Whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive it. It shall be given unto you. You believe that? Watch the order of Scripture. Believe now and you receive it. Now when you believe you got it, you have no evidence, there's nothing there to show it, you got it. But you believe you got it, and just keep believing it, and it'll be given to you. You believe that? Let's ask him for a glorious meeting. Let's together as all you believers with me. You see, no matter who you are, you step across God's line, he'll punish you. David was a man after his heart, but David reaped what he sowed. Let's bow our heads. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee tonight that we know this one thing. That the Holy Spirit is in here tonight, confirming the word of our Lord Jesus Christ and bringing to pass those things which he said would be. Dear God, I cannot be responsible for the faith of the people. I'm responsible for preaching your word and for testifying and telling those things which I know to be true. Thou knowest. You know about the African affair. And Father, I believe tonight just as sure as I'm standing in the pulpit here tonight on this platform, that there is soon a time when you will be with me and will help me in Africa or in India. Be near me now. Stand by me tonight and bless me and keep thy loving wings of mercy over us, making an atonement for our sins and trespasses. forgiving us of all things and helping us to live for you and forgive every sinner in the building tonight. Take all skepticism away and may the power of God have preeminence tonight and be predominant over all unbelief and drive back the enemy and pour out your spirit and heal the sick and save the lost. In Jesus' name I ask it. Amen. Prayer card double, yes. Turn to your prayer card to that card. They have nothing to do with your who. I believe, if you will believe with me, that God will manifest himself tonight in this group together and let people get healed. There's only one thing that keeps you from being healed. If I read the Bible right, I believe I have millions that agree with me on the scripture, that the only thing that keeps us from being healed is a lack of faith that is in our hearts, right with God. Is that right? If he was wounded for our transgressions, by his stripes we're healed. Look, I noticed one time a fellow kept coming to my church, and he'd say, I say, all that wants to be remembered in prayer is they'll become Christians, stand up. Every night, you stand up. All right? Next time I say, all that wants to be Christians, that wants to be remembered in prayer, to be a Christian, stand up. You stand up, do that revival. And then after a while, be months and have another revival. You stand up. That's when I was a Baptist minister there. You stand up, want to be remembered. I meet him out on the street. I say, are you a Christian yet? No. No, he prayed for me, Brother Brandon. All right, thank you. Went on like that. One night, following a service, I said, all that wants to become Christian, wants to be remembered, word of prayer, stand up. There he stood up. I said, come here, man. He walked up. I said, what's the matter with you? I don't know. I said, do you want to be a Christian? Said, yes, sir. And I said, why don't you become a Christian? He said, I don't know. I said, there's just something you down in your heart you want to be a Christian, but there's something you won't let you be a Christian. Is that right? He said, that's it. I said, that's the devil. And that's unbelief. And I said, you believe that? He said, yes, sir. I said, you believe if I'll ask God to break that power of unbelief above you, that you'll be a Christian? He said, yes, sir. And just that time when we thought of it, he let out the scream, he jumped up in the air like that. It was gone. And a man's a staunch Christian today. What? It's the devil, that unbelief, that little snickering thing there, little shadow to keep him from breaking into it, and the same thing is by healing. You say, well, I've been sick a long time, and I've been crippled a long time, I couldn't improve from this condition. Oh, yes, you can. Jesus Christ did whatsoever things you desire. When you pray, believe you receive it, you shall have it. I believe it, don't you? All right. Double here. Let's get the prayer card now. Where did we call last night? What was it? 50? Let's get the last part of the night. Let's get from 85 to 100 in Dublin. That's coming up, going up the line. Bring your bottle up. All right. Who's got prayer card 80? Double here, 85. Raise your hand. W, 85, 86, 87, 88, 89, 90, on up to 100. Prayer card W, 85 up to 100. Line up here to my right. While, now, check you ushers and so forth and see if everybody gets there. And if they don't, then let me know and I'll call the line again. All right. Now, if any of the people here in the wheelchair has got cards, they don't have to come to the prayer line up here. Just raise up your hand and let someone hold it up. It's got those numbers. And when that number is called, when you see your place lined up there, just move right up here in front of me. And I can't heal you, friend. But God, if he will, in his mercy, might let me know the reason why that you can't get healed. All right. Now, if you have only faith, can heal your own individual faith. Don't you see what a gift of healing is? A gift of healing isn't something that's in somebody to heal somebody else. The man that's being prayed for has to have a healing. He has to have the faith. Is that right? Excuse me. All right. Now, what do you think, Dad? You think you're going to be able to throw those crutches away and walk home tonight normally?
I hope you are.
What about you, Mother, there in the chair? You believe you're just going to be able to get up tonight and walk away from there and go on home and be well?
What about over there, sister, with the braces on your limb and down along the line there?
Do you believe with all your heart?
I tell you what you do. If you just look this away and pray, not look to me as, oh, I don't mean it that way. I mean it in this way. Like Peter said, look on us. They were men. Look on us. And a crippled man looked earnestly as if you receive a coin. He said, silver and gold have I none?
But such as I have.
Now such as God will give me, I will give you. Now how many out there tonight has got what I don't call any certain diseases, but just got very bad diseases that hasn't got any prayer for, and you want God to heal you tonight, raise your hands. It's got all kinds of diseases. Just raise your hand and say, I'm the group. Alright. Looks like most of the sick people pinned right in these three rows right here.
Right in here.
Alright, you start praying. And the rest of you people, it's well and unhealthy, you pray for them. I believe if you were sick and held up your hands, they'd pray for you. So you all pray, one for the other, confessing your fault, one to another. Is that right?
Yes.
Pray one for another, that you may be healed. Is all the cards in today? Alright, he's got you out yet. It hasn't come in. Now, 85, W85 to arms of the Father. May sickness be healed. May the blind see, the deaf hear, the dumb speak, the crippled walk. We don't have to have these things to believe you, Lord. We believe them anyhow. But if it be your great will tonight that you'll grant these privileges and blessings to us, hear the prayer of your servant as I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Number on there, you put your name and so forth on it, and then tonight when your number
he makes his secrets known to his servants, his prophets, and he reveals it. Remember Daniel, how he made the king's dream known? How Jesus had seen Nathanael coming and holding him? He knew he had been praying just before he came. You believe that thing Jesus exists today? All right. You believe that I am being his prophet, not by any things that I'm here with, but by his sovereign grace, he foresaw that before the world began, and he ordained that I should do this work for him. Now, if I don't do it, for unto me. All right. I'm just talking to you in order, like he did the woman at the well, to see if I can get back straight to what your trouble is, you see. Now, I trust that he will do it. Get mercy. He doesn't, or I don't know. But your trouble is in your side. Is that right? If that's right, raise your hand. I see a hole in your side, a whole lot. Pain. That is caused from an accident, a fall. All of a scab. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
What it's done is just shut you up. First, the tissue is loose from your side. Won't you? Are those things so true? Was that so what I said? Now, if it is, just turn to the audience so they see. Is that true? Not a man. So he was here on the microphone, so he can hear the Lord.
That's true.
Now the vision has gone, you see. Now, you heard my voice, did you? But that wasn't me. That was the one who's here now present. The one you see in the picture of, the one we spoke of last night. The one that knows all things that's sent from God. He's the one. Now, come here, brother. Now, when he met me out there, he told me, I told him I didn't have enough education. Isn't something about the bowels or colon? Is that right in the colon? It's got tumors in there. Is that right? It's got tumors in the colon. And you're up for an operation. And you've been putting that off. Hold it. Now, operation's passed through, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
And you've been putting it off waiting until I pray for you. Is that right? Almighty God, you're here. Beyond the shadow of doubt, our nearest platform just now. You know the condition of this woman. I lay hands upon her, Lord. The physician is trying to operate, but yet she wants your blessing before any of this. And God, I pray that you'll heal the woman. May the tumors leave her. Thank you.
8 before he gets to you. Daniel prayed one time and the angel didn't get there anymore. 21 days, is that right? I've seen the time where women and men have waited for weeks and the first thing all at once would happen. The angel passing through the neighborhood. He knows where to end. Whatsoever you bind on earth, I'll bind in heaven. What you loose on earth, I'll loose in heaven. Is that right? That's his sovereignty. Excuse me, lady. I'm just so attracted to that woman. All right. You look very healthy. You believe? You believe that Jesus Christ will make you well? You believe that I'll be his prophet with all your heart? Now look, there's a kindred something between you and what that lady had. You had to her also. Is that right? Examination of that. But that tumor you had is in the head. Is that right? You believe? Come here. Our heavenly smile there on the mercy for her realizing it. This demon would take her in life. Oh, may your spirit come near now. Heal her, Lord, make so away. She made completely whole. And your servant prayed in Jesus Christ.
He lives within our lives. On the road to Emmaus one day, he
baby, with the baby. Look this way. You're having trouble with that baby, aren't you? Look this way to me. Do you believe me to be God's prophet? Aren't you a sinner, you lady yourself? That's why I raise up your hand. You accept Jesus as your Savior right there where you're standing with your with the fruit of your womb in your hand. You do? Your baby has a rash on it, don't it? That's what's meant. Is that right? Go ahead home now. The baby's going to get well. Join us with some good Holy Ghost Church. Be filled with the Spirit of God. God bless you then. And take it home. It'll be all right now. The baby will get well. Don't worry. Little lady, you serve God the rest of your day. Do you love me to raise your hands to the people as a testimony? Once was lost, but now I'm found. Blind, but now I see. Lady, you suffer from convulsions. You've been having for a long time. You had a series of operations. And you got tumor for one thing, you got something wrong in the intestinal tract. Is that right, Sister Woods? I know you. Well, then why don't you accept your healing now in the name of Jesus Christ? You do it? Now, I know that, but we just had to get home to her. All right, I had a woman next to her. All right, lady, what do you think, sitting there next to her? You believe with all your heart? You do? Stand up on your feet just a minute. Oh, you got a bladder trouble. Raise up your hands, I say, all right, you go home now and get well. The lady next to her has bladder trouble too. Is that right, lady? Sitting right next to her. That's right. Stand up on your feet, be made well. What do you think about it, sir? You believe in the truth? You, with the blue shirt and red tie, you believe you can be God's prophet? All right. Stand up, there's a lot of people moving in over there. Oh, yes, it's dreadful trouble, isn't that right? Raise up your hands. Go home and get well. What about the next woman? You want to be healed? If something wrong with you, stand on your feet if you believe you can be God's prophet. You believe you can be his prophet? You suffer with stomach trouble. Is that right? Raise up your hand. Then go home and get well. What's the matter? You believe to be his prophet? You believe with all your heart? You have heart trouble, don't you? Is that right?